It looks like LeVon is taking real good care of our song leader. He's sporting a new suit. Relatively new, anyhow. And I like the way that he puts the vim and vigor and enthusiasm into the singing. Then when he draws it to a close, he cocks that arm and leg. They say about Austin Mobley that they come to see him preach. And I guess I fit in that category sometimes, and certainly we come to see Brother Smith lead singing. And I like to see some liveliness in a song leader, a preacher, and anybody else that does anything for the Lord Jesus Christ and the sake of his kingdom up on the face of the earth. If we can get all shook up and alarmed or enthusiastic or excited about soap or insurance policy or some investment or a new car or a new home, surely we can get as excited about the greatest thing on the earth, and that's the kingdom of God. We have the most wonderful thing going for us. We've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We have access to the throne of God. We're assured of his providential care, and eventually, when this life is no more, be ushered into that home of the soul. Why shouldn't we be excited about that? Some services I go into, everything is just as drab and dull as can be, sort of a morgue atmosphere, subdued. And it looks like there needs to be a fire built under the song leader and preacher. And the prayers aren't fervent. You know, the Bible says the effectual fervent. Huh? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the Lord's business demands our zeal and our enthusiasm. Now, Brother Smith, Rod Smith, mentioned the radio program tomorrow. We'll be on 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, on the station in Xenia, one of them, WMMX, 1110 on the AM dial. And hope you'll be able to listen. Some of you won't because you'll be at work, or some be out of the house but and not in your car. But if you can listen, we'd be glad for you to listen. Tell others about it. Now, another thing we are looking into, and that is a television program. I called Channel 45 last week, and he's supposed to get back with me tomorrow. And we might be able to get on Sunday night. This will be taped during the week and have a 30-minute telecast. Now, it may be far beyond our means, may be too expensive, but, you know, if it's within our reach and we have to dig into our pocket and put in two or three, four more dollars, it'd probably be worth our while. Then I also called, Preacher, what in the world are you doing? Well, I also called telemarketing. I talked to a woman over on North Main Street, and I'm supposed to meet with her tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, and she'll discuss with us about using the telephone to enroll people in a Bible correspondence course. Now, I don't know what will come out of all this, but, brethren, I believe that we've got to be involved as much as we possibly can in order to get the job done. Amen. It's not going to happen just us coming together on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but we've got to go out in the marketplace. We've got to use every available means at our disposal in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Maybe some of these things, the radio program's already come through, and maybe we can take on some more, and it'll be a lot of work for every one of us. Well, for a few minutes this morning, I want to talk to you from Psalms 27. I want to give Jim a title so he can put it down on the tape. He says if I don't give him one, he makes it up, but I generally give him a title for the tape. And let's title this one, Where Could I Go But to the Lord? There's a song by that title that's in this green book. I don't like part of that song. It's written back several years ago when people didn't have very much. Where could I go but to the Lord? It says, living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. And I don't know that it fits to most of us today, but the title, certainly I like, Where Could I Go But to the Lord? And we'll study Psalms, the 27th chapter. Now, there are two views as to when the events of this chapter took place. Some say that David is talking about the time that he was fleeing from Saul. Others state that this is the period when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. Now, I don't really know, and whatever the situation is, it doesn't change the lessons that are taught or set forth in this chapter. And that's what I'm primarily interested in this morning. I want to look to this chapter, ladies and gentlemen, in four different aspects. The first three verses, David's confidence is set forth. Then in verses 4 through 6, he speaks of his communion with God. And 7 through 12, his communication with God. And verses 13 and 14, his contemplation with God. And we'll look at these hurriedly, and then the lesson will be yours. In his communion with God, he says that the Lord, first of all, is my light. Now look at it as he begins the chapter. He says, the Lord is, or rather his confidence. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Now there are three things there, ladies and gentlemen, in those passages concerning his confidence in Jehovah. He says, I'm confident because, first of all, God is my light. John said in 1 John 1 and verse 5 that God is light in whom is no darkness. And that suggests that through God we get guidance or direction. God leads us, illuminates. In Psalms 119, chapter, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And so God, ladies and gentlemen, is our light. Second, he said that he is my salvation. Not only from a physical standpoint, but more importantly, spiritually speaking, God saves souls. David said, he's my Savior. When we look to Jehovah, he's provided salvation through Jesus Christ. He's the horn of our salvation, Luke 1 and verse 69. And the very name itself, Jesus, his word or name suggests Savior of man. He shall save his people from their sins. And then he says, he's my strength. That is, he's my fortress. He's my citadel, as it were. And one of the most beautiful passages, ladies and gentlemen, in the Bible is in the 46th Psalm, verse 1. And I use it over and over at funerals. It's so assuring and comforting. And it says that the Lord is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. And indeed he is. And so we see his confidence in Jehovah. And I want to tell you, friend, we need the same kind of confidence among us as children of God today. And as a result of that, David could say, whom shall I be afraid? Well, we ought not be afraid. If God is our light and he's our salvation and he's our strength, our refuge, we shouldn't be afraid. And there's a statement in Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 6, where the writer, inspired writer of this chapter said, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I remember what the psalmist said in Psalms 23, verse 4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Friend, let's have confidence in Almighty God. But David had communion with the Lord. In verse 4, he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in the temple. Now let's stop right there. David desired to be with the Lord, and we see, first of all, his priority stated. One thing have I desired of the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, that should be the priority of every one of us, to be with the Lord. You remember Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 15, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and looking to those things that are before. You remember what Jesus said to Martha in the 10th chapter of Luke, round about verse 41, 42. He said, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the good part. And we need to put our priorities in order and have the same kind of view that David did as far as our priorities are concerned. Now he said that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here's the place that I want to dwell. And he didn't ask or aim for prosperity. That wasn't his priority. Or ease, but rather to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We have a tabernacle or a house today. And that's the church of Jesus Christ. Shouldn't we as Christians have the desire and ambition to be in the house of the Lord when the church meets? I can't understand one who's been saved and redeemed and reconciled and delivered from the bondage of sin who doesn't have the yearning, ambition, or desire to come to God's house to worship with the saints when they come together. And look what he says. He says, I want to go to the house of God, and I want to do this all the days of my life. This was perpetual. I want to do this as long as I live. And brethren, when we become Christians, we ought to make the commitment to the Lord that when the church meets, I'm going to meet. And we don't get up on Sunday morning, or we don't meet and huddle on Sunday night or Wednesday night and decide whether we're coming or not. It just is a natural occurrence. made that decision a long time ago to come to the house of God. And it should be a perpetual thing with all of us. But David realized that in the Lord's presence he couldn't be totally passive. And he says, I come to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he didn't come to observe the latest fashions. And he didn't come to the house of God to be entertained. But rather he come to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now you think about that. I ask you, or I ask ourselves the question this morning, why have we come? Why have we come? Have we come out of habit? Have we come out of tradition? Just why have we come? And David said he went in order to see the beauty of the Lord. Now you just think about that for a moment. Here is the grandeur and glory of God Almighty. That scene at the house of God as his word is taught and explained. And here is his grace and majesty and his righteousness and his justness and his compassion and his love and his holiness. And all of those things are seen in the house of God. And David said, I went to the house of the Lord. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. And he said to inquire in his temple. And this word inquire is translated in Delitzsch commentary on the book of Psalms as meditate. I go to the house of God to see the beauty of the Lord and to meditate. And I remember what David said back in the first Psalm. But on his law will I meditate both day and night. And I recall what David said in the 119th Psalm. I love thy law, O God. And what a wonderful experience it is for every Christian to come together. Are you listening? As we are this morning to magnify, to reflect upon the things of God Almighty. So he said, I came to meditate. And then he drops on down here to verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Well, that word sacrifices is translated in other versions as shouts of joy. Now, evidently they had a little life in their service. And we need some in ours too, brethren. We need more amens. Now, some places are getting where they're applauding when they like something. I don't care for that while I'm preaching or after I get through. I don't know if it has any place in the worship to God. But anyway, some are picking this up around over the country, and it seems to me that we could do something that was more dignified than that for a religious service. We could say amen or hallelujah. Both those are biblical terms. Over there in the 19th chapter of Revelation, over and over, they said hallelujah. It means praise the Lord. And we need to have more outpouring of emotions and more amens that we are standing behind what's being said. We back the truth of God when it's being preached. And too many times, brethren, it looks like that we're simply robots without any feeling or emotion whatsoever, that we just sit lifeless as zombies and never have any evidence whatsoever of what we feel in the heart and the soul. And David said he shouted for joy. And I think it's about time in the Church of Jesus Christ that some of us spoke up for joy and made our feeling be known as to our people of the truth that was preached,
and the happiness that we have in our heart for the fact that Jesus came and redeemed us from our sin. Isn't that right? I think, brethren, and let me just digress here for a moment. I think that this ritual approach, ritualistic approach, formalistic approach to religion will destroy the church of God one by one, little by little, over a period of time. We have got to recapture, and this is something that's bothered me for a long time, and I've made it known before here and other places around the country and wrote an article on it not too long ago in Searching the Scriptures that had a lot of approval and I had support, compliments from all over the country on that article. Brethren, feel it everywhere. Unless we can get out of this state in which we find ourselves, probably because of our overreaction to emotionalism, that we have nothing but the shell. And we can't enjoy ourselves when we really come to the house of God. Let me tell you something. I believe it should be the most joyous occasion in the week. When the people come together to sing, and great singing we've had this morning, and to meet with one another, people we know and love and have things in common, and hear the word of God preached and proclaimed, we should rejoice in it. And so it says that he went to the house, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And I want to tell you, you're talking about something to lift up the heart and stir the soul and draw us closer to God is the singing of these good old songs. And I'm talking about singing with some life, not just drag along as though that we're just got another breath or two to breathe before we pass on to the other side. I was in the meeting over here in Ohio, and the song leader sang this song I talked about, Where Could I Go But To the Lord? 4.5 minutes of three little short verses. That's how slow it was. And I see churches just put any and everybody up to lead singing, and some can't lead singing. They can't carry a tune in the bucket. That's no reflection upon the spirituality of the brother who's leading the singing. But friends, let's face it, some of us can't lead singing. And we can't function in certain capacities. It's the best to let somebody else do it for the good of the overall service. So we need to sing the songs that stir the soul, and these great hymns that will build us up in the most holy faith. Well, let me move along here before my time comes and goes. But anyhow, here's his communion with the Lord as he approached him in the tabernacle. But let's observe for just a few minutes David's communication to the Lord. Now he said in verse 7, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Answer me. God, friend, is going to answer our prayers if we pray according to his will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Put it to heart, my friend. Just write it down in the back of your mind. This is the confidence that we have in him. Now look at it. This is the trust, the assurance, the confidence we have in him, that is God. That if we pray according to his will, he will hear us. Now do you hear what I said? John said, this is the assurance that we can have as Christians, that if we will pray according to his will, he will hear us. And you can rest assured that any time that you go to God in prayer according to his will, he's got an open ear to you. He's listening to you. You know, sometimes people don't have enough time to listen to us. We want to speak to somebody. Maybe he's the head of some company, or he's some dignitary, and the secretary tells us he doesn't have time. I'm sorry, but I want to tell you, friend, the creator of the universe has the time to listen to every child of his in prayer. And he listened to David. And David said, "Answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Here's his allegiance to God. Then he said, "Hide not thy face far from me. Let me have access to you," which every Christian has. "Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." And here's the aid and assistance that he's asking for. Then you look down here to verse 11. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." And so he says, I need aim. I need guidance. I need direction. Now you just think about it. A moment, brethren. Here's the prayer of the second king of Israel. He prayed to God. He said, "God, answer my prayer." He said, "Lord, don't you hide your face from me. Let me have access unto you." You're talking about a personal prayer. And brethren, we can read the Psalms in particular, and they're such wonderful texts. And we can learn more and more how to pray to God on a personal plane. And we can have this touch, this appeal that comes no other way except by living with God day by day in His Word and in His prayer. Are you listening to me? And I think, ladies and gentlemen, that one of our shortcomings, I know it's mine, is we don't live with God day by day as we ought in constant prayer. I'm not talking about 24 hours a day. I'm talking about praying each day. Listen, God is there. He's all around us. He hears our prayers. He will answer our prayers. There's help in prayer. And many of us rob ourselves of the most wonderful blessings and benefits because we do not utilize this tool of prayer. Isn't that right? And I'll ask the question. You don't have to answer it. But how long has it been since you individually prayed? Huh? How long has it been since you individually prayed? Not talking about public prayer here at church. I'm talking about individually. How long has it been since you prayed? David was a man of prayer. And he said, "Lord, hear my prayer. Let me have access to you. Aid me and assist me. Give me guidance and direction because I don't know which way to go." And then he said in verse 12, "Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me and such as breathe out cruelty." He was rather alarmed. But he had this communication with God. He had his trust and confidence in him. Here's who he is. He had his communion with him in the house, the tabernacle, the pavilion. And he's communicated with him in prayer. And finally, he contemplated in verses 13, 14, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Now he wanted to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But that necessitated faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if we want to see the goodness of God, brethren, in the land of the living, we too have to have faith and trust and confidence and put our lives into his hands for keeping. And then he said in verse 14, wait on the Lord. Now that's a significant statement. Wait on the Lord. Sometimes we want to run ahead of him. Sometimes we get impatient, ladies and gentlemen, and we just fall back and fall away. But God knows what he's doing. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He's working in our lives. Just wait for it to happen. Wait. Wait. A lot of people can't wait on the Lord to do things his way, but have got to take it in their own hands. We need to wait on him. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Repeats it again. And so in his contemplation, he says, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's going to require faith, but I'm going to see it. And he says, wait on the Lord. God will take care of things. Give us strength to overcome the vicissitudes, problems, the mountains and the hurdles that we got to climb and overcome. Give us the strength, but wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And let me say in closing this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that David in Acts 13:22 is declared to be a man after God's own heart. To be like him. And we can be people after God's own heart. Let us follow the good example that he left and is set forth here in the 27th Psalm in trust and worship and prayer and waiting. And then we can enjoy these things. Let's be David in devotion. Let's be like David in trust and commitment. And let's let this show in our lives. And let's let Jesus be first. And let the world see that he means something to us. And I know, friend, if we talk about Jesus Christ every day of our lives, rather than keeping it bottled up and hid inside because some of us are ashamed of it, that we're going to see some good as a result of our living for Christ. How many have we tried to convert this past week or past month? So far this month. How many have we talked to about the Lord? Some of you have, I know. We need to look at our lives. Do we trust and have confidence and want to share it with others? Or do we live in isolation spiritually and go about our business while people all around us are walking in darkness rather than the light of God's divine revelation? As we sing the song of invitation this morning, if you're not a Christian, we want you to come to obey the gospel and step right out and fall into overture of God's mercy. Come, my friend, and obey. You're lost, you're alienated, you're undone. You'd lose your soul if you died right now without Christ. And I don't know whether some of us have ever stopped to think what it means to be lost eternally forever and ever and ever. We've never envisioned the beauty and grandeur and glory of heaven, that home of the soul, where we can live in God's presence in life eternal day throughout the ages. Will you come and lay hold on eternal life? If you've lived unfaithfully, a child of God, if you've missed church, deliver. Over and over, you stayed away and missed the Lord's Supper. You've sinned before God, and you need to make it right. Will you come today and be restored? Will you come today and be saved as we sing this song of invitation? We hope you will. We trust you will. By together we stand. By together.